coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. It's been a while. It feels like it's been a while. I don't think it's been that long. I am Andrew Farmer.
Too long.
Yeah,
I'm Cole Houston.
As always, Cole Houston. There he is. And with us tonight, you never know what you're gonna get.
He is occasionally.
I was trying to think of what category the man falls into on this show. He's not a guest anymore, right? He's like a featured player on the show. He's just like a cast member at this point.
It's like that thing on Saturday Night Live where they go through the cast and then you get to the featuring or whatever they call it. It's sort of like he's the 12th man or something at A&M.
Right.
I made a sports reference.
Oh my
Look
God.
At me.
And did you hear how quiet we were?
I think he's the 13th man. The reference. Oh, okay. For. So you're close.
Well, he's the first man in my heart.
Is he
Eddie.
The 13th man? That's.
Eddie Medina joins us tonight. Eddie, thank you so much.
If I snap my fingers, will half the back issues of Hey Kids Comics disappear?
They might do that anyway. You know,
there's no guarantee. Of the internet.
They might not be there now. If you snap your fingers, they might come back. So.
And I want to go on record here. It is in fact the 12th. Looked it up.
Okay.
Now that I was challenged.
I was wrong.
All right,
no, I would be just as likely that I was wrong because I don't know these things and my dad's naggy. You know?
So we asked Eddie to join us tonight because we're not going to gloat tonight. Cole and I are not going to gloat tonight. We want to accept Eddie into a very special club with open arms and a clear eyes, full heart, can't lose attitude that this show's known for. We have been trying to erode the walls of Eddie's resistance into the collectorship of Marvel Legends for, Lord, I don't know, 2 years?
A while. Oh, no.
Longer than that, yeah.
This goes back to I know they technically say 3 3/4 inch, but this goes back to the 4-inch Legends or whatever they're called.
Oh, the...
I was fighting that for a while because that was always... That's my weapon of choice is the 4-inch scale on any game.
I bet it is.
it's more comfortable to it.
Just don't walk into
really,
that joke.
Really.
I guess there's no better way to welcome you with open arms than with a wiener joke right off the top.
But I guess it was, and I always dug the 6-inch, but I just never, it was never about just going full in because it was mostly money being $20 a pop usually.
Yes, exactly.
And in fact, I just didn't need to start getting something else. But so I tinkered with getting some of the 4-inch ones just for a little bit, but I never got really excited about them. And then what it was when the
I'm cutting so much of this out and taking it out of context, and I am releasing it as its own show. The last 3 minutes of this show are comedy gold out of context.
That's so true.
I'm just listening going, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard Eddie talk about.
Now for the rest of the show, Eddie is going to be so guarded.
Whatever, I'm going to be amping it up.
So good.
But what it was, being the big Spider-Man fan, I got a Spider-Man here or there, and still not much. I wasn't going in full on. But it wasn't until I saw the Netflix run.
Yeah, baby.
With the Man-Thing Build-A-Figure.
Oh, yeah.
We know that's fairly recent. Was that last year when they started that one up?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And from then on, it was like the little boy pulled his finger out of the dike. There's another one.
I'm just cutting so much together after this.
And the dike erupted, as it were.
Eddie, it's really interesting because, you know, Cole and I have been buying, you know, we started with the 4-inch figures what, probably 5 years ago, Cole? 6 years ago?
Something like that, because they were already, a lot of that line was well established, mm-hmm. both in Marvel Universe and with the Spider-Man and other lines like that. And I kind of got into that a little late, so some of them were very hard to find, right. especially those comic two-packs.
Yes.
They had come and gone by and large, except, you know, the ones that nobody wanted. And so little by little, I'm personally starting to put that together, because I kind of got, it became apparent they were going to stick with this.
Right.
And I think that that really, that's the deciding factor for me a lot of the time. Is this line going to be worth collecting? Because so many lines are like, oh, here, we'll come out with these two characters, but we can always put the rest of these characters out in the Wave 2.
Right.
And Wave 2 doesn't happen.
Right. But and then we moved to the 6-inch figures probably two and a half years ago. But here's the great thing for you, Eddie, and the worst possible thing for you is up until the Netflix release, right?
Yeah.
You would have you would have two, maybe three waves a year, and that's it for an entire year. Since that Netflix release, they've been releasing about six waves a year.
Good night. They're really amping it up.
X-Men, actually maybe more than that, because you have an X-Men, you have a Deadpool, you have a Avengers.
Yeah, you have Cinematic,
And you have two of those. You have all of those
and
twice.
And you have the Thor run for the Planet Hulk. Ragnarok Hulk.
Yeah.
So that, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And that's what I'm saying. This is why I put off collecting them for so long. Because I knew once, you know, I popped my cherry on them, it was going to pop big time.
Yeah. So,
well, it's kind of like, you know, I since you know, Eddie and I bounce back and forth on the stuff that I was never going to get. 6-inch Legends, Black Series 6-inch.
No, even worse, the Star Wars Big Figs from Jack Specific.
Yeah, oh god, and I did I send you a picture? I got another one.
The Praetorian Guard.
Yeah, the one with all the extra weapons.
is that the talking one? Isn't there like a talking one?
There might be, but this one is the regular. It was on the shelf, marked down to $15, and they had the exact same figure without all the extra weapons for $20.
That's good marketing.
So I'm like, okay, I'm jumping on that.
Yeah.
But so Eddie, now is a great time for you to be jumping on board. Especially with, and you're starting to be able to buy them on Amazon. They're starting to trickle out. And one thing I wanted to talk about, because I don't think our last Marvel Legends show we did this enough justice. Eddie, have you seen the 10th anniversary MCU wave?
Oh, yeah, the two packs. I have not seen them in person, but
you've seen images.
Yeah.
Oh my lord, there's just beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff.
And like you were saying, it's a good time, because now that I'm getting into it, now they're giving me that second chance to get characters.
Oh, especially like if you missed out on the Build-A-Figure Hulkbuster.
Yeah.
The Build-A-Figure Hulkbuster, that was the, was it a comic version or the movie version? I don't recall all of a sudden.
It was the comic version, because they hadn't.
That's right. They had not established yet what the film version was going to look like.
And they also hadn't established yet at that point, because remember, that wave was the Thundra.
Oh, yes.
There were no, Doctor I don't Strange. Think there were really any Cinematic Universe Legends at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like 6-inch scale, real Cinematic Universe. Maybe there would be like a Captain America, you know, first Avenger trickle out in a wave, but they were not all in the way that they are now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I have so many Valkyries. I have 8 or 9 different. Like I literally have, I think, 4 different variations of Valkyrie in comic form, in movie form, in black leotard form.
Yeah. And, you know, and the thing is, another reason why it's a good time for me to get on board is I had this, my calling tells me it's like my mutant ability is to be able to find deals. I don't know what it is, but like I can walk into a Walmart one day to go get groceries, and then I'll just like I would have forgotten something, go back the next day, and then realize that they had stuff put stuff out in the clearance aisle, and then just like walk out with like six Marvel Legends, like dirt cheap or something. Or I'll go to a comic or action figure show and just be able to sniff out where the loose figures are at and snag these $20 figures for like $4, $5, $6 because they're loose, maybe missing a weapon or two, which I don't care about. But I think it's a good time to get into it because on some of these waves, enough time has passed to where they're starting to trickle into the collector's market secondhand. Like someone who may be, you know, scaling down their collection, they're starting to show up more on like eBay, dirt cheap, you know, at shows, loose, dirt cheap. So it's kind of a good time to go back and find those from a few years ago that people are just kind of getting rid of now.
Oh, I totally agree. 120%. So let's talk. So the reason we have these shows is to discuss Marvel Legends. That's the second passion of Hey Kids Comics.
Very much so.
You know, the first passion being the comics. The second passion being the Legends, and I think the third passion being the movies. So the movie just came out. The movie. I don't have to say anything else. It's made over $1 billion. It's the movie.
Yes, indeed.
So my question, my initial question to you guys, now that we can, and it's very exciting to have Eddie on this show as a Marvel Legends collector now. You know, we
one of us. One
yeah,
of
exactly.
Us.
You know, the first wave of Infinity War figures dropped, and it has that that Steve Rogers figure. Why his head looks like that, I'll never. Why the sculpt of his head looks the way it looks, I'll never understand it. But God knows I have it. But you know, we've got the first.
Are you saying it doesn't look like Chris Evans? Or
oh just... no, it certainly does not look like Chris Evans. I don't know what it looks like, but it's
yeah,
not
Chris
Evans. Yeah,
in fact,
that's
Evans. Been a principal complaint about that one.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Is that it looks exactly like no one in particular.
It, now that I'm looking at it right in front of me, it kind of looks like Andrew Farmer.
Yeah, it's me.
It yeah. really does. It's like Andrew Farmer as Captain America.
Which is all con next year, but because God bless him for hearing me. I've been writing letters saying I can't dress up as Captain America if he's blonde and clean shaven. I need the beard. I need the darker hair. I need him to drop about 50 pounds and then I'm good. I got 2 out of 3. So I'm feeling good about that. But yeah. You know, the first two waves, the first wave's out, the second wave's been announced. It still doesn't, they're still missing some figures in there.
Yeah.
What do you want, Eddie? What do you want to see that you haven't seen? You've seen the movie. What do you want to see that you haven't seen?
Hmm.
Oh. As far as like what's coming out in the second wave? I guess I knew there was a second wave coming.
Black Widow, Thor,
Ant-Man and Wasp, even though they're not.
Right. There's a Black Knight figure's just in there, which is fine. Yeah. But believe me, I'm not going to argue with that. But yeah, that's in there.
I had to think about that one for a minute.
It's Call Obsidian is the build a figure in that next wave.
Uh-huh.
But like, you know, they're missing some pretty big hitters there.
And then yet again, you're having to kind of go out of your way for some of the MCU.
Yeah.
Because you've got that Toys R Us exclusive. Irony of Thor, Rocket, and Teen Groot.
Groot.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
This is from Infinity War versions?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's from what I understand, you can actually right now get it cheaper on their website than you can in the stores, but that could change since the stores are kind of volatile on their pricing right now. And the cool thing is, I didn't realize this until I found a production shot, that Groot comes with his little tablet.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. His. Well, that's not. That's the little handheld game. That little 80s game.
Yeah. Well, he's got something. At least in the pictures I've seen, looks more like a tablet than an 80s game. But.
Oh really? Maybe they couldn't get the rights to do the.
No, that's probably true.
Or they couldn't scale it right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I, you I got. But you got the Black Knight in there. You've got a comic book accurate Malekith, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then you've got your smirking Paul Rudd faced Ant-Man, which I'm very excited about because I have the Build-A-Figure Ant-Man. Thank you, Cole, for your help in that.
Absolutely.
But I don't have the smaller version of the MCU Ant-Man, and I certainly don't have one with Paul Rudd's head, and I kept saying they're missing the boat if they don't release
exactly a
Paul Rudd-headed Ant-Man. But the two from the film are Black Widow and Thor. So now we have an Iron Man, a Cap, a Black Widow, a Thor. You've got what's that, Eddie?
No, I know who I want to see.
All right, hit it.
We haven't gotten a figure for Infinity War specifically. I want to see the Gorilla King figure.
Is it
Oh yeah.
Is that his name?
M'Baku?
I want a figure of him.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea.
Because it's funny. I just saw Black Panther the week of Infinity War because I hadn't seen it yet. So I saw it like on that Monday, and then I saw Infinity War like later that week. So he's just fresh in my brain as a new character, basically, on screen.
Well, that, and he's got such a presence there. And what a great retooling of a silly Marvel character.
Right.
In Man-Ape.
Yeah.
Or Ape. Yeah, Man-Ape, I think it was his.
I think it was Man-Ape.
Why wasn't there a Wave 2 of the Black Panther?
I know.
I guess they pretty much exhausted the bulk of the characters.
Because you didn't have a... You didn't have
do a two-pack of Skrull and M'Baku if you wanted.
Well, but they don't have a they don't have a. I would have loved to have had a T'Challa, not a Black Panther.
Like a
warrior.
The footwear.
Yeah.
Yeah, a mercenary version of Killmonger. Like,
that was going to be my other choice, was the mercenary version. Where he's got the armor, the chest plate, and all that stuff.
And the mask? Plus,
you can have that tribal mask, which will...
Yeah, it would have to have switched between the mask head and the regular head.
Well, sure. And then they didn't have...
Yeah, otherwise, you get one of those Wolverine ring masks.
Yes.
Yes. No. You're not invoking Toy Biz.
Yes.
One, are you?
Oh, we invoke the salad bowl era all the time.
The salad bowl Nightcrawler era. Balancing on his knee. It's in his hand. Yeah. Where is it? Nobody knows.
The salad bowl. that was like the most awkward.
The other one is, what's his nuts? What's his teeth? Why can't I think of his name right now? Claw. You could.
Oh, that's right.
You didn't get a decent Claw figure with his weird arm.
Okay, here's a two-pack. Here's M'Baku and Ulysses Claw.
Oh, yes. Okay, when you said Claw, that would work. Like, you're talking about Andy Serkis.
Yeah. Because there is, however, in that MCU... In the first 10 years MCU line...
Yeah.
There is a Hobbit guy. Mr. Hobbit face.
Oh, really?
Hobbit dick.
There is a Killmonger and Agent Ross 2-pack coming out, which is pretty cool.
Well, what does Killmonger look like? Does it look like him without his mask? And,
it's no mask. And he's got the other Black Panther suit on.
So it's still Black Panthery.
And he has the pointed stick.
Okay.
And
it'd be cool if they made a shirtless figure of him. That way you can see all the...
You could just sit around licking it.
Yeah.
It's like confusing Braille.
Yeah.
It's like, this doesn't mean anything. But apparently, there's going to be, it's one of these Target 2-packs, and it's going to be part of a Build-A-Figure 2-pack series.
Do you want to tell him, or do you want me to tell him?
You tell him.
So if you had to guess, without looking, because you haven't seen this, right, Eddie?
What? Seen what?
The 2-packs.
Oh, no. No. I don't do a whole lot of research on what figures are coming out.
Oh, well, you will. If you had to make a wild guess about what the Build-A-Figure would be for these 2-packs, what would you guess?
I'm completely lost. I don't know.
I'm going to give you a little hint and ask, have you never seen a spaceship before?
I'm still lost.
So these are all the Cinematic Universe 2-packs, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they've chosen somebody that appears in every one of the movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're such a punk. The Stan Lee figure.
They got a Stan Lee Build-A-Figure coming.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be Target's going to have a the Bucky with his new Wakandan arm.
Yes.
And his big ass not for sale gun.
Yeah.
And Falcon.
Yeah.
And then the Killmonger and Agent Ross.
Hmm.
So I'm super excited for that. But
so,
the other
so like is there like the top half of Stan Lee in one 2-pack and then bottom half of Stan Lee in the other?
Yeah, it's gonna be like Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Slept in twain. I don't know. We haven't seen any pictures of the Stan Lee figure or the packaging yet.
Well, okay. You can see the packaging. You got in the 2-pack for the Killmonger 2-pack. You do have two legs, so I'm guessing it's going to be two legs, two arms, and a torso and a head spread between the three.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think is going to happen. But regardless,
yeah.
I digress.
I'm looking at it now. Good night. That's, I mean, not the Build-A-Figure part, but the two figures that you get,
mm-hmm.
the Ross and the Killmonger. Whoa, that's pretty slick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going all in on these on the 2-packs of for the 10th anniversary stuff. They got some really cool ones.
Oh, I hate this. I'm gonna be broke.
I know. And the what's nice is there are some single releases as well. But if you put all of the box edges together between 2-packs and the singles, then it creates this whole big, you know, on the edges, it creates this whole single graphic.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I don't give a shit about anything else that they're releasing with the exception of the... Finally, I'm getting my Ben Kingsley Mandarin 6-inch figure. That's all that matters to me. That's the
Andy
only thing that matters
Trevor.
To me.
Oh, my gosh.
It makes people that would be so... Nice. People are so mad at me, by the way. So mad at me. That I will say and say publicly and I firmly believe it that Iron Man 3 is in the top 4 Marvel movies of all time, and people get so angry. So angry,
as people tend to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I'm doing the research, which I never do on these legends because I know that just means it's going to make me want more things.
Mm-hmm.
I just spotted the 2-pack of Scarlet Witch and Vision.
That's out now.
Is that out now?
That's out now. Yeah.
Is that an exclusive or is that just for wide release?
I think it's a Toys R Us exclusive, but I think that the Toys R Us exclusives are available on Big Bad Toy Store, so I think you can still pick them up.
Okay, because this article didn't say anything about it being exclusive. That's nice looking.
It is.
And the nice thing is. That here's what you do if you want the original release of Scarlet Witch. Forget it.
There was a first one?
She was part of a wave where that was the one that nobody can find.
Okay.
And there's also, there's like a comic book version, Ant-Man and Stinger.
Yeah, I saw that.
Went out.
That says exclusive.
But the Vision, I don't think they've done a... There's like some kind of Chinese knockoff for the longest that was the only one available.
Uh-huh.
So, but, what about you, man? What, Cole, what do you want to see that you haven't seen yet in these next waves of, because the thing is...
One of the things with the cinematic universe, I'm thrilled we're getting a 6-inch scale, a legend scale, Lee Pace, Ronan the Accuser.
So good, yeah.
I love that character. It was so dead on in the costuming, the performance, everything about him was perfection. And I'm thrilled that we're getting that figure done justice at last.
I agree with that.
With a side of spaghetti.
I agree with that. But what about what you're not getting?
Down the line, I mean, we did our recent Hey Hasbro issue.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's never enough because there's always something else.
Mm-hmm.
And, like in the cinematic universe, gosh, they've done such a good job with the cinematic universe. There's hardly anybody left that I want to see. But I wish that, and I think a lot of it's they've got this sort of Disney rights thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
They can't touch other things, but it would be fun to see somebody do a line of the cinematic Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be kind of fun to have this, the Deadpool Colossus.
Yeah, yeah, I could agree with that.
Deadpool. And of course, now you're going to get like a crap ton of characters, as I gleaned from the latest trailer. I'd also like to see, I can't remember his name, was it Korg?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, oh my gosh.
Why
yes.
do you not Korg, have a Korg Build-A-Figure? Yeah, Korg and Mick.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, how did I forget about that? Yeah, that would be a perfect figure to do.
Yeah.
My gosh. Because who didn't love him?
I mean, yeah, he's perfect.
Exactly. I mean, apparently that was one of those things where the role was supposed to be much tinier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they just got to the point where they were, you know, the more they played it, the more they wanted to play it. But, you know, like, coming up, you know, I think it's a Deadpool line, that Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's as near perfection as makes odds. And of course, I'm just silly for the Sauron.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming up. It's kind of nice in a way because I can save some money, ideally, on some of these lines. Like, I'm not building the cinematic Thanos, so I've got an arm from my get Serpent Society, aka Ronin. Not Ronin, aka Cobra, rather.
Yeah.
One syllable word. You know, that to me was a fun character. And as we talked about on the Hey Hasbro issue, if you haven't heard that, why have we not got to build a figure of Lockjaw?
You and I talked a little bit about that on the – it might have been on Hey Hasbro, but I think it was when we were talking about HasLab.
Oh, that's true. It may have been on the HasLab
Now they've established in Damn You, Eddie. Damn you, sir. For buying that Ghost Rider bike that I haven't forced myself to buy
it?
Yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but they
and I thought it was like something that was like had been on the shelves and then disappeared because of time, because our Walmart was restructuring all their aisles, and so they started throwing up stuff on the shelves that were like 5-6 years old. So I was picking up things like 2 years ago, and they were clearancing all these. You know, there wasn't many, but they're clearing out all these Marvel Legends figures, and I picked up, like, the Shocker and Submariner. Like, figures that look cool to me, but I wouldn't have bought normally.
What? And Namor's, like, practically brand new, by the way. It's amazing to me how some of that stuff just gets chucked out while it's still fairly new.
Yeah, and so when they had the Ghost Rider and Black Widow, I thought, this was cool. This must have been a thing. And it wasn't until, like, after I got in, did a little bit of research because I wanted to post it on my Facebook, that I realized... Oh, this just came out.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
Okay, if they gave it to you at a markdown price, don't tell me, because then I'll be even more jealous.
I'm going to keep silent on it. No.
Jeez.
Oh, do they have more than one?
No, that's what I'm saying. I was like, I got it. You know why it was probably discounted? Because the box was beat to hell. And that's why I thought it was like an old release. Like, it was.
Yeah.
To the point where I had to check online to make sure, like, there was no missing pieces that may have fallen out of the box.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I lucked out.
Well, like you said, you have a mutant ability just to walk into a place.
I know, because I walked into a Walmart today that we don't normally go to. We were going to be passing on the way home. We needed to get some groceries. They had Zip.
Mm-hmm.
No Marvel Legends. Although they had one Jackal.
Yeah.
And they had no... Black Series Star Wars. Nothing on their pets.
That seems to be the thing for a lot. Let me just chime in that the Jackal was one of my latest acquisitions from a recent toy show. And I had to get it because, I don't research on what's out there. I just, like, come across these things. Oh, that's cool. I'll get that. It's a good price. When I saw the Jackal, I thought, for a second, I had to do a double take. I thought it was the Bernie Casey gargoyle from the made-for-TV gargoyle movie.
Yes.
I was like, Bernie Casey? Like,
that's hilarious. So
I had to find on that alone.
Early Stan Winston characters all of a sudden.
But yeah, I think that is the direction they need to take Lockjaw. Now that they've established that they can put out bikes and people will buy them, people will spend $40 to buy. People spend the same amount they spent on the figure to buy a figure, you know,
a bike.
put out Lockjaw, and like you said, I think it was you, Cole, put out Lockjaw and Crystal, a figure that you're never going to get otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. Crystal's among the most boring characters visually out there, which is a shame. She's a, you know, former she's been with the FF and
Why didn't they have – why haven't I gotten either from the release of the first movie or from Infinity Wars – why haven't I got a movie-accurate Wong figure yet?
Oh, yeah, because they did Mordo, but we still don't have Wong.
Wong was my favorite thing that happened in Infinity Wars, by the way. My absolute favorite thing is we know – we should – Cole, when we post this, we should probably put a thing up there for spoilers. Jay, Rusty Shackles, posted a really funny thing on Facebook today. He's like – you know, no, Thanos demands your silence, no spoilers, ... and then space down about 30 spaces and says, I don't know if it's possible for me to spoil a storyline from a 25-year-old comic. but my favorite thing about that movie was we know of living at this point three sorcerers in the Marvel Universe, right? Cinematic Universe. Strange, yeah. Mordo, and Wong. And that's it, right? Yeah. Like, that's all we know.
Yeah.
So, of those three, you had the third most powerful sorcerer in the Marvel Universe that we know of in the middle of the extinction-level event that was the Infinity War say, you know what, guys? Peace. You handle it. I'm heading back home. I'm boning out.
Exactly.
you guys have fun out here.
I mean, he did have a good reason. That somebody's got to mind the store.
When half the universe is threatened to disappear, I don't know if going home to watch the homestead.
Hey, look at it this way, though.
He had a casserole in the oven. He had to go.
Yeah. Right.
His souffle was going to fall. Plus, if you think about it, you know, somebody does have to mind the store because while the universe is crumbling all around us on the ethereal plane, as it were, or the astral plane or whatever they call it.
It's Copacabana out there right now.
That, you know, meanwhile, everybody else, Nightmare, Despair,
Mephisto,
yeah, everybody is kind of casting a jealous eye.
All right, fine, Cole, shit on my parade all you want with your fucking logic shit.
I'm not going to have you diss Wong on this show, sir.
I'm not dissing Wong. I thought it was great. Just like, I'm going to go. But I want a Wong figure. I want a Doctor Strange figure from...
You know, two Wongs don't make a white.
Is the Doctor Strange?
Stole that, by the way.
Is Doctor Strange's outfit in this different than the movie?
I think it's basically the same. I think it's basically the same. I think that there are some slight variations, but it's as the well. I guess you're right because they didn't put out a Gamora, and they didn't put out a Star-Lord, and they didn't... Yeah,
there's room for more.
But they could release another four waves.
Hell yeah.
And fine.
Because the next wave, that one of the characters in that upcoming second wave is Thor with Stormbreaker.
Yeah, badass.
And a fake eye.
Just badass Thor, yeah.
Yeah.
God, made me so happy.
You know what I just saw? I'm researching as y'all are talking, but I'm listening. I guess this was from Toy Fair from a few months back. They're looking at ahead of like the Elektra and the Black Daredevil and all that, and Scarlet Spider Wave. The build a figure for that thing, I'm not up to date on Spider-Man comics, but it looks like they crossed Spider-Man with Evangelion, and it looks
Eddie, here's a little bit of backstory. Edge of the Spider-Verse, that whole storyline. Yeah. Where all of the Spider-Men from all the different universes kind of got together to fight one big bad Morlun's family from Extinction. That's one of the that's why we've been getting Spider-Man Noir and
Punk Rock Spidey
and the Captain Universe Spider-Man and Spider-Pig that's getting released, thank God. And all of these different variant Spider-Man are from the Edge of the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just never seen this character. Is that storyline like so big to where I couldn't catch up on it in just like a couple of trades, or is it like?
Oh no, it's one trade. Trades? Yeah, you can read it in one
really?
Trade.
Okay, because I've completely missed all that because I just assumed it was like too grand of a story for me to catch
up.
Oh
no, it's super fun. It's one trade. It's really cool. It's a great comic.
Edge
yeah.
Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I mean, because they don't really bother. There's a bunch of setup. For it, but which you're not going to need, they kind of just jump in and say, okay, here's a bunch of Spider-Men, here's this guy, you know, go for it, and just, you go at it. It's really fun. It really is fun.
Oh, and okay. Eddie, you're probably going to get this at a very cheap price.
Yeah.
But they're doing civilian Beater Wolverine.
Yeah.
With his Wolverine cycle. It's made of tubes.
Tubes and glass.
Tubes and glass.
Glass.
I saw the Wolverine on his cycle. That looks pretty badass. I'm definitely gonna get that. And I'm excited.
What it looks like though is the Ghost Rider cycle.
Yeah.
With new tires and saddlebags.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, you know
but
what?
Ghost Rider cycle, you can take that giant front piece off.
Uh-huh.
And have 100% the original classic.
Actually, because I have it pulled up on my screen, and because I have the Ghost Rider cycle in my right hand.
Keep rubbing it in.
I'm rubbing it. It is.
Don't.
You're right. It is exactly the same motorcycle with new fiddly bits removed in it.
Yeah. No flames. No.
Yeah.
So
you're right. Hills. I'm looking at it. But then again, how much can you really change a Harley type cycle?
Exactly. And the thing about it is, I've seen complaints. You mentioned that the Cobra figure, the Serpent Society, Klaus von Snakey Boy,
was the
brother from another mother of Norman Osborn.
Yeah.
And it's like, and people have been complaining about that. It's like, have you not been collecting Marvel Legends for the last 15 years? I mean, any arm, leg, boot, foot.
It's from somebody else.
And, is
it's
recycled.
Oh, no, I'm not complaining. I just thought it was funny because when I got the Serpent Society figure, like that looks just like Norman Osborn, and so I put them side by side, and I would find like one oddly shaped scale on a bicep and look over, and it was on that one too, and then like, wow, look at that. But that I don't even know much about Cobra or any of that backstory, but dang, that was a beautiful looking figure.
Oh,
I
isn't
had to
that
get...
that is just so layered with cool.
It's one of my favorites, and I know nothing about the character. It's just a cool-looking figure. I knew I had to have it.
The only complaint I have is that's their third Serpent Society member so far.
Yeah.
I found Constrictor for like $5 at a convention or a toy show.
Yeah.
Long after it had been out, I found one loose for about $5. And then I got, who was it? Cottonmouth.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, when they announced Cobra, I'm like, wow, there's actually a possibility of building a decently sized Serpent Society over time. Mm-hmm. Because they could do, like, Bushmaster as a build-a-figure since his lower body is like Galobulus from...
G.I. Joe? Are we...
Cobra.
Yeah.
Wow.
Burgess Meredith, Galobulus.
But another, for your cinematic collection, by the way, there is a two-pack of Ant-Man and Yellowjacket.
Yeah.
So coming up, which is pretty cool in its own right. What do we see coming from Walgreens? That's the one to watch.
Just real quick before we get into that. So, Andy, this Edge of Spider-Verse, is it a five-issue series?
I think it was five plus all the various spin-offs from... that hit each of the books.
Okay.
But the five core is what I read, and I knew I had done no back research on it. I just read the trade, the five issue collected, you know, and I was completely fine, and I enjoyed it. I do before we go to Walgreens, Cole. There is a question I have for both of you, and it's something we've never talked about.
Cinematics as well.
It's something we've never talked about when we're talking about this, and that is how do we feel as a group about the Marvel Legends series props, movie accurate props that they're releasing.
Oh yeah, like
the gauntlet. And I've seen Stormbreaker in the stores, and it is gorgeous if you haven't seen it in person.
No, I have not seen
it. Eddie, do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Along the lines, I think they tested the waters a bit way back with the Stormtrooper helmet from the Black Series.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, right now, I saw the other day at Walmart. I'm like, holy crap. It is a three-piece Darth Vader helmet.
Yeah.
I saw it, too.
And I'm like, holy crap. How dare you? I mean, it would never fit my ponderous melon, but still, I'm sure a thing of, that I would, if I had anywhere to display it properly, I would jump on that sucker in a heartbeat.
But, I mean, is this a viable spinoff from the Marvel Legends line? Because they're billed as Marvel Legends.
Yeah, I think in the same way that the other are billed as Black Series, you're getting that market familiarity. And you're giving, especially, I think, cosplayers some really viable, I mean, a really movie-accurate pieces.
Yeah.
Like these metal Captain America shields that somebody posted a picture on Facebook of a Toys R Us had like 60 of them on display.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what was the funny one I saw was, who was it? It was a peg warmer, but apparently all of the, like, they're in the tri-state somewhere, and every store had like 20 of this particular peg warmer Marvel Legends, sent them all to this one Toys R Us, and they had like 48 of this one peg warmer Marvel Legend. And it was just like, God, that's sad. That's sad to see. Okay, so go ahead and talk about Walgreens.
Real quick about the cinematics as well. I'd forgotten about one of the upcoming things is a Tony Stark. I believe it's upcoming. They're doing a Marvel Legends 2-pack of Tony and the prototype.
Yes, they are.
The do-it-yourself Iron Man. And I think there's maybe, it was Captain America and Crossbones.
Yes, that damn Frank Grillo figure.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, there's just so much. Oh, and good. How did I forget this? Because I am so keen on this. Not so much for the other figure, but this is one I'm going to have to get. The Red Skull.
Yes.
And Hydra Soldier. Oh, okay.
Was anybody else like totally blown away that they snuck him in?
I stood up and applauded Eddie in the movie theater.
I made a noise. I'm not even sure how to describe it, but yeah, I was like blown away. I was like, because I was thinking, who is? Because at first I saw it, I was like, well, it's not gonna be Cloak and Dagger, obviously.
Yeah,
but.
Well, I thought it was Death.
Yep, so did I.
And that was a wonderful nod to the fact that in the comics, you know, like that whole line about courting Death in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, he's actually going to meet his girlfriend.
Yeah.
and then it was even better that it wasn't Death, and that it was exactly as I said from the when I walked out of Captain America, the First Avenger, I said, that's not the Red Skull.
Oh, yeah. But it had been so long, I had forgotten about it.
Yep.
I wasn't expecting it.
Yes, exactly. That was what made it a master stroke.
Yeah. Because that is when he went down, right? With the Cosmic Cube.
Yeah. And, okay, as a side note, since we're talking the 10 years, the Marvel 10 years.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, but when you collect all the 10-year figures... I'm not
one. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, you put all the edges together? Or...
Yeah, on the side of each of the package, you put them together, and it creates like a 10-year mural.
Yeah, like it's an amazing graphic that creates. That's clever marketing tool there as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm not one to hold on to the packaging of these Marvel Legends, but that's a pretty cool concept.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, going into Walgreens, I mean, it's become apparent that Walgreens is going to become our Fantastic Four headquarters.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel may have turned their back on the FF, but Walgreens certainly hasn't, and God bless them for that. Because, you know, we got Invisible Woman, and then the next year we're getting, you know, a Human Torch. And then we're hearing that the next year we're getting Mr. Fantastic, and The Thing, and Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, holy crap. This is going to open a huge door for Marvel Legends potential.
Well, we got Medusa.
Yeah. Oh my God, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
They could be our resource for the Inhumans for that.
Well, I think it's anybody that falls under that Fantastic Four
umbrella,
that license, you know? So, obviously, Black Bolt, not so much. They got a Black Bolt, but they were never going to make a Medusa.
Yeah.
And they did.
And you got the Namor that I don't care for as much as the one they finally came out with.
Where is
I like
that
the
Namor?
Classic, you know, Trout Speedo look.
Yeah, we got X-Men Namor from that line. We got that Super Sweet Punisher War Journal figure from that line. The original costume Daredevil from...
And we got an awkward-looking Ant-Man.
Are these the ones that are on the old Toy Biz style cards?
No,
these were the ones, they're Marvel Legends packaging, but they're Walgreens exclusives that have come out over the last several years.
So only Walgreens has them, Eddie.
And you can still find a lot of them when you go looking.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I do remember seeing the black and yellow Daredevil there.
That's one of my favorite figures.
I've actually still seen those out on the shelves to this day. I saw the... there were a couple, like the Namor was still out, the Ant-Man was still out, but no Mr. Fantastic at the one I went to.
I'm going to find you one, mark my words.
I know you are diligent in this. But, you know, I hadn't thought about the Inhumans, but it opens the door to Fantastic Four characters that we might not have seen otherwise.
Mole Man?
Kind of, damn you.
Yep, Mole Man.
Yes.
What do you want, Eddie?
Especially if he comes with an articulated moloid.
Yes.
I want to get rid of this need to now collect all these Marvel
Legends. Nope, you can't. He's just sitting in fear now, knowing.
You were talking about doing a shelf of all the Spider-Man villains. You know there's an incredible-looking classic Doc Ock costume.
I know. That's what I was going to bring up. The fact that, because, again, I haven't done much research, but I was thinking I wanted to do the Sinister Six. But
yeah.
I started picking up characters that aren't part of the Sinister Six that are just awesome looking Spider-Man villains. So I thought I'll just do a Spider-Man versus one Spider-Man versus all of his rogues on a shelf. But and then I'm scrolling through the Toy Fair stuff and then I saw the Doc Ock.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's awesome.
Okay. Here's a little bit of a spoiler for the next several weeks.
Yeah.
Who do you think you would like to discuss at length? Green Goblin, Sandman.
Don't give away
Venom,
the fifth.
Or I'm going to take the fifth on the fifth.
Yeah, take the fifth on
or
the fifth.
Or a combination of Doc Ock, Rhino, Puma, Tarantula, and Vulture.
Did you say Venom is the third choice?
Yeah.
Okay, you're asking who would I want to discuss?
Yeah, if you were to be on the show and discuss one of those.
Okay, what were the first two choices?
I don't know.
I thought you said Green Goblin.
You got Goblin, Vulture.
No, you got Sandman. Green Goblin, Sandman, Venom, slash, you know, symbiote 10-pack, and a mashup of Doc Ock, Vulture, Rhino... Puma, Tarantula.
I kind of like the mashup of all those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you guest on Roguish Eyes 2,
yes.
Web of Tangled Web, Part 4, Animal Kingdom. So, yeah, be sure and write all that down.
I'll do that.
You're press ganged in.
That's coming up in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm only choosing that one because I don't know if I could talk at length on any one of those prior characters, but I can talk a little bit on all those other guys put together.
Well, we thought it'd be fun for Roguish Eyes 2 to kind of mash up all of the animal-themed characters because there's so damned many of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is.
So we're getting close to having to wrap... Speaking of wrapping up, we're getting close to having to wrap this up. There is one thing that I wanted to ask the both of you that might take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this earlier because I have something in mind, of course.
Of course.
If you could apply the Marvel Legends formula to any other comic property that currently doesn't have an action figure line, what would it be? Like,
is that strictly comic or could it be comic or movie?
You could do movie. That would be fine. I'm just curious as to what you guys would want because I think that it's a very viable formula. And I think, again, DC currently is trying to capture that lightning in a jar that Marvel Legends has and not doing a great job with it. They got some decent figures in that multiverse line, but not a great job with it. But there are so many, I mean, because they did it with the indies, right? When they had Pitt and they had, you know, but is there anything out there for you that you think, okay, I would really like to see this get a, a wave or two waves or a build-a-figure or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Is there anything that just jumps to mind?
Yes. And I'm, okay. And mine is, in my mind, when I think of this property, it is definitely strictly, in my heart, a comic book property, even though it's been spun off to everything else under the sun. G.I. Joe.
Ooh, oh, 6-inch G.I. Joe, right?
Yes.
Oh,
Mike
God, yes.
Hasbro has not touched that yet.
It's insane that they haven't.
G.I. Joe.
They're going to have, like, G.I. Joe, the red, white, and blue series.
Yeah. And,
I mean, there's so many. And I was thinking about that.
Think about those characters in that scale, those characters with that articulation.
Snake Eyes.
Yes.
Come
yes.
on.
And you know, you'd get a Timber figure finally that you can articulate along with.
Oh, guys. Yeah.
Oh, so good, man. Like, I was, you know, honestly, I've looked for 6-inch Joes, and they just don't have them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. I know. And that's what I'm saying. That's a quick, easy.
And it would make a shit ton of money. Just hand over fist money.
Oh, I know. I guess the only deterrent I can think of is they're already taking up so much of the landscape, so much of the property on store shelves with between Marvel Legends and the Black Series, that there must be some concern that retail won't touch this.
Well, the thing about it is, G.I. Joe has, for the past few years, has been floundering at best, or not. It's almost non-existent as far as collector figures.
Yeah, you know, and this would be the perfect way to revive that, though.
Exactly. I mean, the 50th anniversary came and went, and all we got were a few two-packs Toys R Us exclusives. And yeah. That was a huge disappointment. And I already got the Build-A-Figure in mind.
Hit me.
Because the first Build-A-Figure I want to see, this is going to go way back to issue number 3 of the comic series, where it was, I think it was, the issue was called the Trojan Horse Gambit, where basically the Joes brought into the pit, unbeknownst to them, something that had nano robots on it, and these things scattered about through the pit, and they formed like this giant mecha Trojan robot. You can look up issue number 3 of G.I. Joe, and you see what the image is. That would be an awesome Build-A-Figure, and that would be like for the hardcore. We've been there since the beginning, G.I. Joe comic book fans.
It's perfect. It literally is perfect because it's untapped. It's marketable. It's recognizable. I have wanted it. I have actually gone out looking for 6-inch Joe figures in that scale. I was thinking maybe Fig Arts, or there was an import, or somebody was doing something somewhere. Yeah. Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
The only thing we ever got was Sigma 6, which was too cartoony and stylized for the diehard fans.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
that was insanely cartoony. I actually have a Sigma 6 Destro in the Isle of Toys shopping cart.
That's right, you do.
That I paid like a dollar for at the toy show. I couldn't believe this guy was selling for a dollar.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's actually a really good price on that figure.
I know, and I'd have bought it on that alone, they were so blocky and cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if they did a 6-inch line of G.I. Joe, and they mimicked the release of the original waves, like start with the original.
Oh, that's such 12, a cool idea.
And then they built it where then the next wave you got Cutter and you got Gung Ho, and then you got Quick Kick and Storm Shadow.
Here's a way you could approach this is, rather than just build a figure, build ordnance.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. There you go. Then you can build Serpentor's chariot.
Exactly. You have a Serpentor
line.
Okay,
I got it.
Or you build the chariot, or you can build a Trouble Bubble, or what do they call that?
The Pogo.
Armor.
Yeah. Yeah. Exact. Oh, my gosh. So you can build, like, the Outpost Tower. You could build Zartan's little chameleon
Or that the motorcycle with the Gatling gun sidecar.
Yeah, the Ram. Uh-huh.
I'm gonna put the icing on the cake right now.
Just
with
don't
this.
Build the LCV, because that was the stupidest thing ever, and G.I. Joe fans will know exactly what I'm talking about.
So the icing on the cake on this is, and this has now been established, and we know it works. Put them in the old blister packs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. With that
same
80s graphic.
Yeah, the same graphics.
I mean, look at how people ate up the 40th anniversary Black Series Star Wars that mm-hmm. way.
Or the Marvel Legends that were based on those old Toy Biz figures.
The Toy Biz. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because that's grabbing the nostalgia collector.
Hell
because
yeah.
Because as far as packaging is concerned, which one really, in all honesty, trumped the other? Star Wars old school packaging or G.I. Joe? It was G.I. Joe because you had that cool painted artwork as opposed to a still shot of the character.
Well, and, you know, and then,
go ahead.
Play a long game. I mean, be prepared to do like. I would think that what would be really cool is to have, you know, the build an ordinance type of idea.
Yeah.
And suggest, like, practically give you, look, when you buy in on this wave, we're guaranteeing you a second wave because it's going to take you two waves to
complete the build.
Yeah, to complete this build. Something mm-hmm. big.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
yeah.
Like Catherine said, build a headquarters. So, like, you know, you have to buy, like, all 20 lines.
Oh my god! Could you imagine?
You have to buy them all, or you don't get the bathroom.
Could you imagine? They came out with so many figures, and their end game was to build the USS flag. And it would be like 20 feet long.
You get one deck panel of the flag, and like $6,000 later, you've got a shit ton of GI Joes.
You would actually put the Jabba sail barge on the deck of the USS flag.
I'm trying to stand the sail barge on the flag. But,
oh my gosh! I mean,
you're gonna have like Baroness with removable glasses.
And you know, since we're seeing that a good response to the Marvel Legends and the characters with their motorcycles. Then we can do packaging where you get the Dreadnoughts with their motorcycles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You get Buzzer and Ripper.
So good. Yeah. that's a brilliant idea. 120% I support the functionality of that idea. From a business standpoint, I support it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard it's Larry Hama approved, so, you know.
He can't stop staring longingly out a window.
Here we go.
Long enough to
the Hulk theme music, the end theme.
Did you, Eddie? Did you watch The Toys That Made Us?
Is the new season out?
No, the old season, the G.I. Joe episode.
The one with a dead-eyed stare of Larry.
Well,
Hama.
I was like, did Cole and just catch Larry Hama on a bad day at AllCon? And then I'm watching that, and I'm like, I keep looking behind me because I feel like he's looking through the TV me at the wall behind me.
It was actually using his Hama vision.
When that part came up, I thought, did they listen to Haken's comments?
Yeah.
He's like, maybe he listened. He's like, okay, that's how you see me? Then that's how everybody
I'm leaning into it, baby.
That's right.
I love that part where he starts talking about something very brutal, and they said, Larry Hama, now available for kids' parties.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Absolutely. Like, jeez. But anyway, okay. So, Cole, what about you? What do you think?
I was really struggling with this because there are things I would love to see that will never happen, despite the fact that I made a prediction 15 or years or longer ago that at the rate things were going, everything you ever loved is going to be a collectible. Everything, every TV show, every, you know, the damn Golden Girls action figures proved that point mm-hmm. perfectly. Yeah. So... where would I want to go? What I would love to see in any scale, 3 3/4 or preferably the Legends scale, is maybe a limited, you know, 3 to 5 waves or something just to test the waters, is to license the Marvel Star Wars. I don't know if Disney/Lucasfilm would ever go for it, but give us Marvel Comics Star Wars characters. They did that to a limited degree with those comic 2-packs, but give us things like, do it in the 3 3/4 scale, for example, and give us a like 7-pack.
Here we go. I knew that's where you were going.
6, 7 with, you know, Effie and the Starkiller Kid and Jackson.
You said that on our Rancor episode and our Wishlist episode. That was one of your things. Yeah.
But I think it'd be cool, like, to do a 6-inch, a Black Series scale would be even better. Just have, you know, just a handful of characters or start mixing them into waves. Because they're already doing that with the 3 3/4-inch scale. They've got the fan's choice figure was Dr. Aphra from the current Marvel
comics.
And the thing is, that's one of those things I kind of take a little issue with the way a lot of these fans' choice polls get. Apologies to absolutely all the fans. But I really wish, because there are so many characters that are going untapped, I really wish they would exclude the Expanded Universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cole, you wish they would exclude the Expanded Universe, period. Yeah, just true. In general.
I mean, even as much as I would love to see some of these characters get the figure treatment, I feel like Expanded Universe is going to be the sorts of things everybody jumps on because, well, we're never going to get a Dr. Aphra otherwise. Mm-hmm. And that's to the exclusion of, like, Sim Alu, who was simply known as Imperial Dignitary, one of the only vintage characters that has never been done in 3 3/4 inch in the modern line. I'm kind of pissy that way. And I feel like there's so many damn movies. With a new movie every year, I worry we're never going to see more Cantina creatures. We're never going to see more Jabba's Palace creatures because there's no room anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be a fun one from the comic standpoint. From a deeply personal standpoint, I would love to see a fully realized, like, John Carter Warlord of Mars based on the writings of Edgar Rice Burroughs. Okay. Because those are some fascinating characters and creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, you've got an art team who would adhere to the way these creatures and things are described, it would be so cool. And I know myself, probably Michael Price, and 20 other people would buy in on that line, no matter who the manufacturer was. And what the hell, just, you know, throw in Tarzan the Apes for good measure.
Well, I'm sure it would end up in there for sure.
And Catherine has what she would want. Oh, Catherine wants a Samuel L. Jackson action man with a full wardrobe from Nick Fury, Jules Winfield.
That's a good idea, like a Mego style.
Yeah, like a character actor line. It would cost a fortune because you have to license. Like, you got. Oh yeah, you can sell them separately. Like action. Yeah, you got Mace Windu. You got whatever the character from The Caveman's Valentine. Oh, let's just go all
the
in.
The Caveman's, is he playing the violin as a homeless guy?
He goes with the violin.
I'm okay with that idea, so as long as there's a Deep Blue Sea Samuel
Jackson. Oh, half a Jackson.
Yeah, half a Jackson.
Split him in half like Darth Maul.
What about Formula 51? Was that the name of the movie where he played the weird Scottish drug dealer?
Yeah, Snakes in the Plane, The Long Kiss Goodnight.
I was thinking up that ham sandwich line. There would have to be a ham sandwich.
The list. I like this Samuel L. Jackson.
I like this idea.
That list better.
Like the Jackson universe.
That list better include Jackson, a Hateful Eight.
That's good, Eddie.
What's that?
A Hateful Eight.
Oh yeah.
Needs to be in there.
There actually was a Hateful Eight action figure line.
Yeah.
By the same people who did the incredibly short-lived Django Unchained line, because they had to, like, pull them because people got offended. And so, yeah, ultra-rare almost instantly. But
The Hateful Eight Samuel Jackson's kind of like a sound chip in it, where he says, like,
see,
all the vulgar things he did to Bruce Dern's son for killing him.
Interchangeable sound chip. So every costume comes with lines from the movie.
It's like RFID or near field communication, where, you know, you use the same base, but every time you put, like, it's sewn into, like, the jacket, so that every time you put on the jacket and you put that figure on the base, it.
Okay, so it's sort of like that. What are they? Force link or whatever they call that ridiculous.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
They're like foisting on us.
Sure.
So yeah, that would be
way to go, Catherine. That's a great idea.
You got a way to go there.
Have you seen this? Is not this is off topic, right? But have you seen the? So are you guys familiar? I know that Cole and I have talked about it because I've talked about it. The Fig Arts, the import figures. Eddie, are you familiar with the SF Fig Arts? They're the Japanese imports.
Yeah.
They make the what is it? Manga realizations, Star Wars figures, and all of that. I'm about to post a link.
The Star Wars ones are Bandai, but yeah, the SF Fig Arts, good lord, they're just amazing.
I just posted a link into the chat because I want you guys to see this.
The Thanos?
Yes. Just look at it.
What?
Oh, that must be the one that everybody's going gaga
over. No, everybody's going gaga for the Marvel Select one that you can get at Disney stores.
Right, yeah.
But this is the import that's probably what?
So, Eddie, did you see the custom G.I. Joe 6-inch
scale? Oh, yeah. I saw them.
So here's mine.
Exactly what we would be looking for here.
I saw them and immediately nutted. So
oddly, I needed to know that.
So I
that was actually not too much information.
So I've been burnt out on Marvel and DC comics now for about a year.
Yeah.
And I have been voraciously consuming comics from another publisher, oddly enough. And I think that we have a huge disservice not having a 6-inch figure line a la Marvel Legends for the Valiant universe.
Oh my gosh.
They're getting brought more to the fore lately.
Well, they got the movie.
Yeah.
And the movie is fantastic, by the way.
Wait. What movie?
There is a Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe movie that was broken up into so the guys that do Super Fight or whatever
the webisodes.
Yeah. Did it. Uh-huh. And it's okay, so imagine that the Asylum was allowed to make a real Cape and Cowl superhero movie.
Yeah.
Not the Avengers Grimm type thing, but they were given the resources and allowed to make a superhero movie. That's what this would have been. The production value wasn't great, but it was okay. It was absolutely watchable. The acting, it had one of the Power Rangers in it. It had, you know,
I'm looking at still shots of it now. It looks pretty cool.
It's fantastic. It was
Bloodshot.
Good night.
Freaking
Bloodshot's played by the Red Ranger.
Oh, Red.
Or Black Ranger or Red Ranger, one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I recognized him immediately.
But the CG on Exo Manowar, where the little ball floats beside him and then, you know, he reaches out and it just covers him, is fantastic. The stuff that they
do
with.
Are you kidding?
No.
Exo is in it?
Yes! Yes! The Eternal Warrior's in it?
My all time favorite Valiant character?
Yes! And Exo Manowar's in it. The Eternal Warrior's in it. Archer and Armstrong are in it.
What?
And it's so much fun because they've done such a great job of building a universe that doesn't have the weight. They could have used the old '90s Valiant when they relaunched, right? Because they relaunched everything in Valiant. I want to do an entire show on Valiant because I'm blown away by what they're doing. But they started from scratch, got rid of all the ideas from those 90s. The characters are still there, obviously, and relaunched everything and built this universe from it. And the comics are amazing, right?
That's what I've heard.
The comics are outstanding, and they've got big major players writing them. And then they had this movie, but think about a 6-inch Exo Man of War figure.
Yeah.
Like an Iron Man level Exo Man of War figure. Think about a Bloodshot figure.
Yeah.
Like a 6-inch Bloodshot, a 6-inch Ninjak with all of the accoutrement, like Cole's favorite sword.
Yeah. Is probably not because of the licensing, but is Turok part of this wave? Is he part of the new Valiant universe?
No, he's not.
Oh, that's a disappointment. I love Turok.
But you could do a Livewire figure. You could do an Archer and an Armstrong 2-pack. You could do an Eternal Warrior. You know, you can get. I could have 15 figures. You know, starting with the heavy, or not even starting, just a couple heavy hitters per wave, and then you know fill it in around the gaps with some of the ones that you know Ray the Space Ninja, the Space Ninja gets in there like. These figures, if done the same way they do Marvel Legends with the same care, they have to sell. It's like the fourth largest manufacturer. It's the fourth largest publisher right now. I don't know why we don't have something even in the aftermarket for this. Yeah. But I am chomping at the damn bit to get my hands on some 6-inch Valiant figures right now.
Yeah. Good night.
You need to watch that. Now, you can't now. They pulled them. They were only up for a week. And then they pulled all the webisodes that equal a 2-hour movie. And it's based on one of the comics that I've read.
Is it Rapture? Because I keep seeing references to the comic Rapture.
Well, it's based on Rapture. It's sort of a DC idea, right? The Unity Squad, which is their Justice League,
yeah.
Which is, you know, Exo and all of those guys are in the Unity Squad. You know, Ninjak has to go do a thing, and I think it is Rapture. You know, so it's basically Batman goes into Amanda Waller's office and steal something really important, and then they have to call the Unity Squad to go get it from him type of situation. But it's great. There's the first webisode, at least 15 minutes of the 20-minute webisode is a knockdown drag out fight with MI6 and Ninjak just going at it through the halls of and just smoke bombs and swords and, you know, just the whole nine yards. And then it ends with them calling the Unity Squad and Exo and Eric standing on the shores of wherever and just reaches out to the ball and it's just like whap, and then it's, you know, it covers him and he's got the helmet, and I'm just like, damn it, this is good. Damn it.
I'm blown away that I have not heard about this.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a still shot.
You're getting the blood, behind on
the bloodshot
stuff's
pretty
show.
Fun too.
Apparently so. There's a still shot of Bloodshot with a bullet hole straight through his head and gore just covering his face.
Yeah, they don't pull. Well, he's on the phone during that entire fight. He's like fighting a bunch of guys and he's on the phone. He's just getting stabbed. And of course it's healing and he gets shot through the head and it's heals. Like they don't pull any punches. They do it for real. Like it's
oh
fun.
Gosh.
But okay. Shadow Man would be another great figure to go in there.
Yeah. Is that Shadow Man that I'm looking at? He's got like the skull face paint or something.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if you're not reading the comics, honestly, and you just want to read some awesome just superhero comics, read them. They're fun.
Yeah.
They're amazingly fun. Because
I'm like you, I really, really honestly got burned out on Marvel DC, like big time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I'm sticking mostly to just Star Wars and Turtle comics right now, just because I'm just really burned out. But I've always, always had this soft spot in my heart for the Valiant Universe.
Pick it up,
but
man.
I've never checked out the new stuff.
The new stuff is amazing. They brought in top flight writers,
yeah,
to write their stuff. Guys that have written for and are you know still writing for the big two that I think just wanted some freedom to explore and have fun. Bloodshot is one of the best comics that I've read in years. Just so much fun. So I would suggest check it out. You too, Cole. If you want to read some actual superhero stuff that doesn't make you want to throw up all the time because you just don't understand what's going on, which is where I'm at.
Let me ask you this. Okay, they pulled these webisodes. Are they going to be releasing them on Blu-ray or what? Why do they pull them?
There's the two going themes right now, or the two going kind of theories. One is that they pulled them because there's a licensing deal that was made. So much like did you ever watch the Mortal Kombat web series that they did?
Oh, with I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
With Jerry Ryan and
yes.
Michael High White. Yeah. So what they do with these now is these guys that do this kind of whatever that that YouTube show is, right?
Bat in the Sun.
Yeah, the Bat in the Sun guys went into an agreement. They kickstarted this thing, got it made it, launched it all, and then said, who wants it? I think somebody bought it, and then they pulled it all down because they're going to either release it to a streaming service or they're going to release it on Blu-ray or both.
They better do something because I want to see this now.
I want to see a bunch of them. Like now there's proof of concept that they can do this thing, and if they can produce and release these things like I said, like Asylum releases movies for the Sci-Fi Channel, then there's no reason that every couple months we couldn't have another like Exo or a Bloodshot or a Eternal Warrior or a, you know, whatever movie.
And if they built it Marvel style, this universe Marvel style where you have Archer and Armstrong, and somewhere during their movie, you know, Exo drops in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or, you kind of cross over and hint at the other, the more the fully defined universe.
Right.
I honestly, I'll be honest, and granted, I know the characters, right?
Yeah.
But I was watching this thing, and I didn't care. That's the amazing thing about this was I'm watching this, and it, within the first 20 minutes, you're introduced to every major player in the Valiant universe, short of Shadow Man.
Yeah.
And I didn't care that they just dropped all this on you. Like, they did it in a really cool, creative way where they did, like, cuts to, like, oh, we need to call in the Unity Squad. So they call in Archer and Armstrong, and they're in this bar, and Armstrong's, like, you know, regaling people with his stories of, you know, Herculean feats and tales, and, you know, and they're just like, yep, we got to go. And I'm like, I didn't let now do your own movies. But I didn't mind not having any backstory cinematically for these things. Just, it felt really good. Like, there was no weight to it. It was just fun. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
So that
I didn't mean to dominate there for
a minute. Oh, no, that's quite all right.
So that's Jason David Frank as Bloodshot, I bet.
Yes. Yes,
it
is.
That's what I thought it was. And yeah, so the Green Ranger. So, okay.
And then the guy who plays... the guy who plays Ninjak was in, I think he was Deadshot in the Arrow TV show. Like, they got a decent little pedigree for the actors in it, too.
It's like they went to Comic-Con and just signed everybody up that weekend.
I'm sure they probably did.
Because a lot of these names are, like, Comic-Con regulars.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a diss at them. That's fine. But it's cool. Man, what the heck?
It's like
now.
It's like, Cole, what was the Nightwing movie that we reference all the time?
Oh, is it Nightwing or
the fan
you're talking
film?
About like Grayson?
Yes, thank you. It's like that, except I think on a little bit of a grander scale where they actually got this thing made, and it's really fun.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive stuff there.
Yeah, watch for it on the Alcon TV next year, I'm sure.
Because when you were talking about the first episode, 15 minutes of it is 20 minutes, the 20 is a fight, my brain immediately switched over to that episode of Daredevil season 1.
Oh, yeah, mine too. That's exactly.
In the hallway where you just, the one shot fight, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just sheer brilliance.
It's cool, though, and I don't want to spoil too much of it, but, you know, this is a hero going in to steal something from MI6, right? A good guy. So a good guy that's used to killing, that's an assassin, essentially, right? So, but he can't kill, and the entire thing is him in this labyrinth where they keep shutting doors on him to try to trap him, but he can't kill the people standing in front of him, so he's got to figure out clever ways around it, and... It's really well done. It's really well done. Like, I was shocked at how well done it was. I was expecting, like, oh, this is going to be really fan-made stuff, you know? And then I'm like, no, they got it. And they're not shying away from any costume, any concept. They're going all in on it.
I mean, the fact that it's got Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah.
That sells me, too, right there.
Yeah, it was crazy. Cool. It was really, really cool. All right, we should probably wrap it up. Cole, final thoughts.
I suppose we should. I want to just say that I really it's wonderful to see that what started out as at Toy Biz as a spinoff of the Spider-Man Classics line or something like that, the Marvel Legends not only survived the transition from Toy Biz to Hasbro, it survived Hasbro's initial awkwardness with the line.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that some of the early Marvel Legends from Hasbro were so cartoony looking. It's almost like they felt like they had to distinguish their Marvel Legends from Toy Biz's. And Toy Biz had grown significantly as a company as insofar as how they were presenting these superhero characters and taking them with such care and you know, with the sculpts and everything about them. And then Hasbro comes along and it's just like, whoa. And it was kind of like the early days of Star Wars, the relaunch in 96, 94 rather, where they had, you know, a little bit of growing pains. So it's good to see that they overcame all that and that it continues to this day. They have the occasional missteps like the Build-A-Figure waves that were disappointingly small characters like Hitmonkey.
That one pissed you off so bad.
Oh, and I'd forgotten ones like, you know, there was Puck and one or two other just little bitty characters that were just like, seriously, I'm going to invest, what, like $120 and you're giving me a figure that would retail for 10?
Yeah.
And then they turn around on the next wave and give you some colossus of a character. And it was just very hit and miss in that way. But I'm really glad to see that this line has survived, that it's thriving. A lot of times, like in the early line, I think Toad was one of the first wave at Toy Biz. And you're kind of raising your eyebrows saying, you know, there should be some criteria involved with what constitutes a legend.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you know, as the years have gone on, and I'm always kind of surprised, like, wow, why weren't they a Marvel legend yet? But at the same time, there are characters you wouldn't really necessarily consider a legend in the grand scheme of things, but yet you're thrilled you're getting them.
Right.
With the exception of Hitmonkey.
Okay, now, because of my ignorance on the collecting part of this thing, the Marvel Legends began with Toy Biz. Those are the ones that came in like the hard plastic.
Oh, yeah. You had to have a can opener to get
in. Yeah, impossible to open. Okay. I just remember some of those. A lot of those struck me as being cool, but a lot of them struck me as being like oddly. The anatomy was kind of off on some of them. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. It was very hit and miss with those early ones. And
I remember there being a Ben Grimm thing that looked like he was almost like smooth and robotic looking. It's like
there was a thing when they did their Legendary Riders series. Is probably the thing you're talking about, where he looked like he was made of 700 slices of American cheese.
You're right. You're right.
They gave him that weird little, like, insubstantial thing cycle, flight cycle.
That's okay.
They rebuilt him out of tubes and no glass. And
yeah,
he did. It was like one of the worst looking, like, thing never looked like that, which does bring up. Speaking of flight cycles, we need, now that we're getting, you know, we've got Ghost Rider and a motorcycle, Captain America's coming out with a motorcycle, Wolverine, Black Widow. The next wave, give us Hawkeye with an Avengers Sky Cycle, for the love of God.
Right. I'm all for that.
So with that, Eddie, any closing thoughts on your, now that you have been indoctrinated into the Marvel Legends collecting?
All I know is
you've taken your first step into a larger world.
Somebody give me a left Sasquatch arm, left Sasquatch leg, and a Sasquatch head, and I'll be a happy guy.
Yeah, I need a lizard.
That's what I need. That's what I need.
Left a lizard Sasquatch. Tail, head, right arm, left arm, torso, right leg, left leg. And I've got stuff to trade. I got a lot of Marvel Legends bits and pieces to trade.
I don't know what I have. Okay, so what do you need? We'll take it offline. We'll figure some stuff out. All right, everybody. So we've got a big, big, big honking week this week at Hey Kids Comics. This is the first of three shows that we're recording this week. One is a very special, crazy, super secret show.
Yeah.
That we're not going to talk about. And the other one is, Cole, would you like to fill everybody in on what's coming? I think we teased it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, teased it a bit. We're going to launch a brand new story arc, Roguish Eyes 2. You may remember the Batman Roguish Eyes, where we talked about Batman's Rogues Gallery. And next up, we're going to delve into Roguish Eyes 2 Tangled Web, which is all about having us some fun with Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery.
That's right. It's going to be so good.
As I suggested there, the first episode, Goblin Up, we'll be talking about Green Goblin. Thinking Outside the Sandbox, we'll be talking about Sandman. Was it Symbiosium?
I don't know.
And finally, the Animal Kingdom, where we'll be talking about various animal-themed Spider-Man villains. And we're keeping, until you hear the fourth chapter of this tale, we're we're playing the cards pretty close to the vest on a very special villain from Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery. And I want to say, personally, damn you for getting me looking around for SH Fig Arts. Apparently, they're doing a job of the Hutt.
Yeah.
And Queen Amidala in the Theed.
Oh, are you kidding?
Oh, it is gorgeous. And I don't know if it's them or somebody else that's doing the Walker from Episode 7. Or Episode 8, rather.
Eddie, plug us up. Where can they find you?
Check out Figments, the Unexplained Mysteries podcast. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube channel coming soon. And you can catch our archive currently at dallasonair.com/Figments, the home of the Rancor Pit Live with me and Cole Houston.
That's
right. You catch Figments every first Sunday of the month at 9:30 a.m. Central. Rancor the first and third Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Central. And on the opposite Sundays, the third Sunday of the month is...
of course, Isle of Toys, starring myself and a special guest, where I talk about all manner of toys, really challenging myself to talk about all kinds of toys that I don't know that much about myself. The next upcoming episode is Age of 10, where I talk to my own father. Not my bad. little recall joke from this morning's Rancor.
Oh, my gosh. We talked about that in the car on the way home. Anyway.
But we'll be talking about 10 toys and other toys of yesteryear of my father's childhood back
nice.
In the 40s.
That's a and great idea.
You can't... you. Toys that came from an era before electronics.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Eddie's the only podcaster I know that's caught off guard when asked to plug his stuff.
I know. Most of them are just poised.
Yeah, it's constantly running in the back of your mind. Eddie's like, let me really think about that.
What's funny about that is when we were doing the Figments today and we had Caleb Darling of the Holy Nerdy podcast on as a guest to talk about Loch Ness Monster. When I asked him to give a quick plug during our exit music, and usually if you watch our shows, we do the exit music and we kind of like banter about to kind of kill time because it's a long stretch, and then it usually plays about 30 seconds of music, then Zach closes out. He was plugging so long that we ran out of music.
It was hilarious.
He's just still talking.
Is still going. I was like, okay, you want to give us your life story too?
That's hilarious.
But I'm gonna say one thing, and we are talking plugs. I have a major, since this is a comic book podcast and not necessarily an action figure podcast, I do have a major announcement on the comic book front coming up later this year, and I'm promising Hey Kids Comics the first exclusive interview about that.
Oh, nice. Later.
But a quick plug, since this is a comic book thing, right now I'm currently the artist on one of the comic books from Kingdom Comics. You can find them online at Facebook, and I think their website is kingdomcomicsonline.com. They put out several monthlies, like three currently right now, where we just got picked up by Barnes & Noble. So all the comics that available in every single Barnes & Noble come the fall, I believe.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. One of the I've been working for them for 2 years now, so it's kind of been building up to this. One of the comics they put out is called Kingdom Comics Presents, and there's three stories. I do the one that's Sir Caliburn. I've been illustrating that since the start of that storyline. So right now we're running a Kickstarter. So if you can go to Kickstarter and put in Kingdom Comics, you'll find it. What it basically is because we're taking on this big thing with Barnes & Noble, the publisher is having to put forward a lot of money to print up these thousands of comics. You know, so he's trying to raise funds to kind of for the printing costs and to also kind of up our salary since we're up in our game. So if anybody can go check out Kickstarter, put in Kingdom Comics. We would really appreciate it. We're like 4 or 5 days into the 30-day campaign.
Why aren't we blowing this up on the website and really, really pushing to get this in? We should be doing that. Send us the link, Eddie.
I will, definitely.
We'll get you blowed up. Yeah, we'll see what we can't do. Oh, my goodness. This was a great show.
It'll be like three people.
Yeah, all of our three listeners are going to be all over that. This was a great show. Thank you, Eddie, as always.
Yes, thank
bringing
you very
the
much.
Thunder.
Yeah, no, thank y'all. This is, like I said, this I can name my top three all-time favorite podcasts, and Hate Gets Comics has always been in the top three. It's always, I know we're all close friends, and Cole and I do our own thing together on a weekly basis or every other week, but it's still a thrill to anytime I can go on Hate Gets Comics. It's one of the biggest thrills as a podcaster for me.
You're so nice. You're so nice. All right, guys. So join us next week for more Hate Gets Comics as we jump into Roguish Eyes and get with Eddie on his Kickstarter. Let's get him paid for this. And I'm really looking forward to whatever bomb he's gonna drop on us. What, next month, Eddie? You said next month?
Oh no. This will be in the fall.
Ah, come on. He means next month. That's what he means.
That's like forever away.
There's a lot of legalities that had to be taken care of first.
Oh, fine. All right. So say bye, kids.
Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye, kids.
That was ominous. I didn't like that at all.
Wow, Thanos.
Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye, snap. Kids. Snap. Yes.
Are you going to get milk and never coming back? What are you doing? I don't know what that was.
Daddy's leaving us.
Daddy's leaving us again. All right. Join us next week for more Hey Kids Comics.